We are days away from celebrating the 250th anniversary of the founding of America. Reasons for the establishment of America has been told in, well, countless books, all of them holding valuable insight, by the way. But the direct way to learning is always the best way, isn't it? Let me ask you a question as we move forward here. When was the last time you read the Declaration of Independence? Okay. Have you ever read the Declaration of Independence? However you answered those questions, our first guest joins us to offer you a path to the understanding of the value, the importance, through the history of this vital document. Lauren Bean, the president and CEO of the Bill of Rights Institute. He is co-author, along with Tony Williams, of Divided Over the Declaration. David, Bob, thanks for being here today, David.
Great to be with you.
And learn more about the Bill of Rights Institute and the immense amount of historically accurate information that they present for your learning, both for teachers as well as individuals, billofrightsinstitute.org, and we have a link at our homepage as well. Looking at the Declaration of Independence, David, what is, in your opinion, the most either overlooked or misunderstood element of this document?
Well, thanks for that question. I think the most overlooked is probably the idea that once done, it was kind of done, that it was a one and done kind of thing that just separated us from the crown. It was good for that purpose, but didn't really have anything to do then with our going forward plan. To me, the Declaration of Independence, and my co-author Tony Williams in the book that you just mentioned, Divided Over the Declaration, we're making the argument that this was one of the most significant innovations in the way that people should think about human progress. It's a huge step to go from being subjects to being citizens. The Declaration gives us the vision. The Constitution puts together a kind of mission statement, you might say, and the two go together. You add the Bill of Rights in, and you have a plan for government that fits a free people. Without the Declaration as a framing, none of that subsequent work can happen.
I mean, I know this is a big if, but if it wasn't for the Declaration, would there have ever been a Constitution?
Exactly. You know, there's an argument that links the two of them. Think of it this way, right? So you get the beautiful preamble, the statement of human equality. All men are created equal. That was a statement about mankind. The purpose of government is to secure people's rights. Those rights are few. The Declaration says among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's a really beautiful thing. Then the rest of the argument of the Declaration is, hey, we have a prince, King George III, that has become a tyrant. Here's 27 reasons why the king has violated our God-given rights. Those 27 grievances, as they came to be called, laid out violations of legislative authority, executive authority, and judicial authority. That became our three first articles of the Constitution. There is a link between the two that really is clear, and it goes back to the fundamental question of what makes for good government. The idea is we're not subjects, we're citizens. I think that this was crystallized at a moment for Thomas Jefferson, who was the draftsman. He's sitting in Philadelphia, knocking this thing out in a little over 2 weeks. And at one point, he's using, you know, his quill pen, and he writes a word. And you know how if you write a word, we don't write very much anymore, but yeah. If you write it and you don't want anybody to see it, you kind of scratch it out, and you scratch a little bit more. Well, he did that. The word that he wrote down was subjects. The word he wrote over it was citizens. Mm-hmm. We didn't find out about the word subjects until they scraped the layers of ink back at the Library of Congress in 2010. That moment, I think, is everything. Subjects to citizens.
We're fortunate, too, because the boys back in the colonial days, they wrote letters, which, of course, was the only means of communication, and they kept notes to give us the path to their insight into what their intent was, what their purpose was, what their challenges were. And we came to learn that maybe it's Is it equally important to realize what was taken out of the Declaration as well as what is in it? I'm referring to the slavery clause.
Yeah, this was a hard-fought debate. You know, Americans of that period, and particularly the men who signed it, two-thirds of them owned slaves. The condemnation of the king that Jefferson included in his draft was very clear. And a couple of delegates, South Carolina and Georgia, were the two states, said, "Look, if that condemnation of slavery is in the document, we're out." And so it was a political compromise. But what the document still did, despite leaving that behind, was lay out a standard. That standard was all men are created equal. It took many years, generations. Really, in fact, and that's the story that we tell in the book, of making that promissory note real. Suffrage, abolition, the civil rights movement, all make the appeal back to that claim about what it means to have rights. One other quick note, right after the Declaration was announced, enslaved people made what came to be called freedom lawsuits. They said, "We see this document. We see that it has a kind of standing in our new nation, this nation of citizens, and we claim our liberty based on that promise." That is the kind of legacy, I think, of the Declaration. It set out a standard by which we could judge our contradiction, and it was a contradiction. Slavery stood as a contradiction to the principles of mankind.
Former David Bob, President and CEO of the Bill of Rights Institute, co-author of Tony Williams' book, Divided Over the Declaration, BillofRightsInstitute.org, their website, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Turning to the book, Divided Over the Declaration, does the fact that to this day the Declaration invites study, debate, disagreement, even conflict, does that cement just how important this document is? Is that the qualities that an important document needs to have for it to be considered as valuable as we consider it?
I think that's part of it. We'd like to see it even more central. You know, it used to be, and that's part of the focus of this book, which is to say, at so many of our early stages, the Declaration was the touchstone. Legislative debates. I just mentioned the movement of 72 years long, from 1848 to 1920, the achievement of women gaining the right to vote. That used the Declaration as its touchstone. The abolitionist movement, from Frederick Douglass to William Lloyd Garrison, all of the debates about these principles used the Declaration as the touchstone. Fast forward to even the civil rights movement, right? You have the March on Washington, Martin Luther King's well-known speech, John Lewis's less well-known speech. He's appealing, John Lewis is, to completing the revolution of 1776. Since, I'd say, in the last 50 years, though, the Declaration has been largely treated as a dead letter. That's a problem. We think it should be restored to the place of national discourse. Make it a touchstone for our debates. America's a home. We're an idea, right? We have this creed. We have to live up to the creed. But we're also, America has a way in which it's an argument. Freedom implies disagreement. We're going to disagree. We're a big, huge nation of 340 million people. Let's disagree better by focusing on the principles in the Declaration. That's the real argument we make in the book.
And as you said here a few moments ago, too, a lot of people make the mistake of saying the Constitution replaced the Declaration of Independence, where in fact, as you described in detail, one fed the other, and they are coexisting with each other. And real fast, too, as far as the Bill of Rights Institute, for someone listening right now who's motivated, I hope, to indeed fill the void of their knowledge about the Declaration of Independence, what kind of information and activities do you have on the website, BillofRightsInstitute.org?
6,000 free resources. It's open to everybody. There's lots of games, videos, instructional materials, information for citizens of all ages, but especially kids. The whole idea is around these ideas. How can you engage in them, become a principled, productive citizen?
And as David described here and details with Tony Williams and divided with the Declaration. The Declaration of Independence is not an antique to be gathering dust on the shelf. It is still a vibrant, alive document with value, importance, and guidance that we need to this day. Learn more about the Bill of Rights Institute, where you can find out from their wealth of information and education about this and other important historical documents. It's BillofRightsInstitute.org. Here's their president and CEO, David Bob. David, thank you so much for the education today and the motivation to want to learn more. That's always the important part of education. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.